Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Not much on this end. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm doing okay. We're still waiting for our other co-host to call in. And while we're waiting for him to call in, I guess I'll just go ahead and break the bad news. Earlier today, Lance got a touch on me saying that he might have to bow out because of family commitments. And just a little while ago, he did get back with me and said that he owes us a replacement show because he unfortunately won't be able to join us tonight. So, unfortunately, no Lance Storm tonight.
I know he's unreliable.
And why don't you wait till I introduce you before you start interrupting people?
Yeah, you know who I am. I'm on the show every fucking week.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Nothing.
Not the same as always. Yeah.
Hey, why don't you call our guest then?
Before y'all get going, does anybody have to go to the potty?
No, I'm good. Let's get the show going.
Hey, Craig, did your wife know you piss in the sink where she washes dishes and puts all her stuff like that?
Hey, we got some new listeners. Let's keep our drama out of this.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, good night.
Boy, it's no better. He slurped his bong right into his microphone on purpose.
That is true.
No, I don't. I got a new headset, and it just picks it up better. But I am going to call Johnny right now.
There you go. Wow, there's a little bit of drama this week on the board there, Couture. Look what you started.
I was just playing around. I didn't care.
Oh, I know, me too. would you like a Raw this week?
I enjoyed it. I'm enjoying the build. I'm really looking forward to the show next Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mania is going to do very well.
I'm part
well.
Of Team Sanitation.
Yeah.
I died last night when I heard that.
Yeah, that was a classic moment by Granny. Oh, she's a funny lady.
I think I'm looking forward more to the Hell in a Cell match than I am Rock and Cena.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's actually there's more drama there, and it just looks like it's gonna be a great main event, if that is in fact the main event. Do they even know what the main event's gonna be yet?
I'm sure it's gonna be Rock and Cena.
Great. Could you introduce our guest, please?
I would be happy to, Ed. Our guest tonight entered a wrestling ring for the first time at the age of 8 years old, according to his Wikipedia. Since then, he's become one half of the Chikara Tag Team Champions, as well as the Dragon Gate, Open the Freedom Gate Challenge. I really screwed this up, Johnny. I'm so sorry. And he's also a job guy for a Funkasaurus. Please welcome to the show, Johnny Gargano.
To be fair, he wasn't the Funkasaurus yet. He was still Brodus Clay.
so that's a different person, really, when you think about it. And that was also Joey Gray, my good friend Joey Gray, unfortunately. I let him borrow my gear, actually, for the match. He washed it and returned it. He didn't fare that well against Brodus Clay, but I think he did pretty good. I sent him a text message and said, nice job, so, you know.
Emphasis on job.
Now, hey, let me ask you a question. Like, when you get to work a match for WWE like that, what do the independent talents go through in the back? I mean, how do they treat you guys? Do they, you know, destroy you guys in a room? Do they let you guys, you know, check everything out? I mean, what's the procedure when guys like you are making an appearance on the show?
I mean, everyone's really respectful. Everyone's really cool. I really love it back there. I've been honored enough to be back there tons of times. The first time being was when I was 19 years old, which is crazy when you really think about it. Everyone's really cool, and luckily enough, I know some of the guys, so, you know, I get to see some old friends that I don't get to see that much anymore because they're in WWE and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a fun time, and it's always an honor to be back there. I mean, to work for the top company in the world is everyone's dream and everyone's goal who steps foot in a professional wrestling ring. So to be able to do that and to be able to work for them every now and then since I was 19, it's a really cool thing, and it's something I take pride in every time they come here.
Now, do they give you guys, like, an agent that you have to deal with, or, like,
most of the time. I mean, most of the time, most matches have agents, and everything's really pretty, you know, written and pretty cut and dry there. So they want to make sure every detail is covered. So, yeah, they do most times.
Now, is there a set agent, or is it just different guys every time?
Different guys every time.
Oh, okay.
I guess my first question would be, on your Wikipedia page, and we know how reliable those can be, it did say that you entered a wrestling ring for the first time at 8 years old. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and Wikipedia is always the best place to go because anyone can write anything about anything. So you know you're getting
right.
The most pertinent knowledge and the best information around, and with Wikipedia, it's awesome. But that actually is true. That is 100% true. I first stepped foot in a professional wrestling ring when I was 8 years old. My dad knew I was a big fan of professional wrestling, and he owns a catering company with a huge parking lot. And a promotion around the area came up to him and was like, oh, you're like, we want to run shows in your back parking lot, an independent promotion. And he said yes, because he knew that I was a huge fan. He knew I loved professional wrestling. He knew it was something that I have always loved. He said yes, and they ran a show. And they let me get in the ring because I was the owner's son, and they showed me a few things, which, again, horribly unprofessional. When I look back, when I'm 24 years old now, looking back at it, a guy in the business now looking back at it, to let an 8-year-old kid in the ring, horribly unprofessional, not a very good idea, but luckily enough for me, it turned out okay, and I met a guy whose future go on to train me named JT Lightning. He trained me when I was 14, fully, and I started professional wrestling when I was 16, had my first professional wrestling match at 16. So I've been doing this a while when you really think about it. It's crazy.
I have a friend, Buddy Wayne. He has a 6-year-old son, and he has a wrestling ring in his garage that he trains people out of. And his 6-year-old has the best lockup I've ever seen in my life, just because he's mimicking.
Really? I can imagine. Tell him not to fall yet, though, because unfortunately for me, my back is not very cool now because I've been wrestling since I was 8 years old. So tell him to stay away from that maybe until he's fully grown and actually fully developed, and maybe that'd work out a little bit better for him down the line.
Right.
Now, when you start wrestling at the age of 16, and we've heard all kinds of stories about wrestlers who started very young at times would have to put on a mask, I guess like Jeff Hardy and Mark Briscoe. Did you ever have that problem? Did you ever wrestle in a state that where you had might have had some issues with you just being 16?
No, because when I was 16, I mainly stayed in Ohio. And, you know, around Ohio, I mean, there is a commission, but I don't think they're that, you know, prevalent. They you know, are that hands-on and stuff, so no one really made a big deal about it. And I was mostly wrestling guys I was training with, so I wasn't really traveling around and doing different things and doing things on my own yet. So I was still wrestling guys I was fairly comfortable with. I never had to wear a mask, but I did have awful gear. I had awful gear. I did awful moves. I had awful hand signs. I had awful everything. So that is kind of like a mask. I don't even want to look at any matches from my old age anymore. I can't watch anything. They just released that video on YouTube of my injury and everything fighting back, and I can't even believe I had to look through some footage and stuff, and I didn't even want to watch the full match. I just clipped some of it, and I was like, I can't watch any of this footage when I was 16 or 17 or 18, even 19. I can't even watch footage of me when I was 23. So that's how weird I am with my own stuff. I'm very awkward with that.
We have a question from Brian Alvarez's wrestling board, and he asked the question: describe how you felt returning to the ring for the AIW's Gauntlet for the Gold event earlier this month.
That was a very cool moment. It's a moment that I'll always remember because AIW was actually running the building I trained in, the building JT Lightning trained me in, the building that CFW. Used to train guys in, guys like M-Dog 20, Matt Cross, guys like Josh Prohibition. So I really grew up in that building. CAPW was a fixture of Cleveland wrestling for quite a long time. You bring up the words Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling around here, and everyone knows what you're talking about. So to me, to be able to grow up in that building and for AIW to run that building again after such a long time, their first show there, I knew I had to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. I felt it wouldn't be right if I wasn't there. Actually, if you look up on the ceiling, my name is actually on the ceiling. It says John Gargano up on the ceiling. I've always gone to that building since I was a very little kid. So I knew I had to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form, and I came out as a complete surprise. No one knew. When my music hit, they automatically started chanting, "Clean up Cleveland," which is a cool thing for me because I love Cleveland, Ohio. It's my home. It's where I've grown up. I'm very proud of it, and I'm not going to leave like LeBron James, even though I am going to Miami in next week, but I'm coming back. So I'm only going there for a couple days. I'm not going there forever. I'm not taking my talents to South Beach. I'll take them, my talents there for maybe a few days, but I'm bringing them right back to Cleveland because I live in Cleveland, Ohio. So to come out and for the crowd to give me such an enormous reaction, they're all shocked and they're all happy because, you know, it was a really touch-and-go moment there for me and for the fans for a while when it was so uncertain about my injury and what my future would hold. To come back maybe 2 months later, win the Gauntlet for the Gold was a cool moment. People loved it, and it was something I'm really proud of.
Awesome. And how is your injury right now? How is everything healed up? I mean, obviously you wouldn't be working next weekend, but, you know, describe the injury.
Or would I?
And how
you never know.
That's true. You are a wrestler.
I did it once already. Oh, I'm not. It's doing pretty well. I finished up physical therapy last week. I go and see my doctor again on Wednesday, so I'm just going to get checked out one more time before, you know, I actually go and wrestle because I want to make sure that he's not going to be like, oh, yeah, wait, you actually have a broken spine here, and, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing anything. So I'm making sure everything's in order before I go down there so there isn't, like, some ginormous return, Johnny Gargano's back, and he steps in the ring and he runs the ropes and he's down again and dead. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I'm pretty confident that's not going to happen. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm able to do pretty decent in the gym. I'm pretty able to run on a treadmill again and do all this stuff again that I'm able to do before. And my whole goal was I wanted to come back better than ever. I firmly believe it's going to take a little bit, but I'm going to come back better than ever. I say my back's at about 90% right now, which is a lot better than it was doing 2 months ago. So WrestleMania weekend, Miami was always my goal. It was always when I wanted to come back because I love WrestleMania weekend. It's amazing opportunity for wrestling fans all across the world to maybe witness some new professional wrestling they haven't seen before. And I always wanted to come back this weekend. So I'm very excited to come back next weekend, and I'm ready to rock.
Now, what exactly happened with your injury? I mean, can you walk us through the actual injury itself?
The actual injury itself, my left leg, as I'm looking down right now, my left leg is actually shorter than my right. So that's given me quite a bit of problems. If you read my Wikipedia again, it's given me quite a bit of problems for a while. I actually had a back injury once before that they actually discovered my leg was shorter than the right. So I've always had sort of a thing, and my mom has a history of back problems, so I think it kind of runs in the family a bit. And basically what happened was 2 weeks prior to that match, I was in a match in West Virginia, and I just took a normal fall, like every normal thing, and it was really cold in the building that night, I remember. So I believe all my muscles were really tight, and I tried to loosen them up, but, I mean, it's really, really cold, so you can't really get too loose. And I took a fall, and I felt it immediately. I felt my back give out immediately, and I finished the match. My legs got heavy then, too, but I was able to finish the match. I was in an incredible amount of pain then. And I knew that in 2 weeks, it was the last show in the ECW Arena, and we were going to be the main event. So I figured, okay, horrible time for this to happen, but I can try to get through it. So I tried to train. I tried to do all that stuff. And maybe I overtrained, really, to an extent, because maybe, 2 to 3 hours before the actual match, things just started hitting me all of a sudden. I was in the ring going over stuff, trying to run the ropes, and it was just my body was shutting down. It didn't help that I didn't eat that day, so I'm sure a lot of things, factors kind of played into it, and it was like a perfect storm of injury and just different things all at once that I had a bunch of torn muscles in my lower back. And 2 minutes into the match, I couldn't feel my legs anymore. And, of course, being a professional wrestler, you're in the ring and you can't feel your legs anymore. What's your first instinct? Oh, I'm going to wrestle 25 more minutes. So I wrestled 25 more minutes feeling like that. And as soon as the bell rang, all the adrenaline I kind of tried to amount in the match was gone. And I just couldn't move anymore. It was the worst pain I've ever had in my life. I can't even describe it. I don't even want to imagine it. Hopefully I don't have to feel it ever again. I laid in the ring. And they all came and got me, and they said, don't move them, don't move them. But I remember there was a tribute to the arena, Ron, right after me. And I said flat out, get me out of this ring. There's still one more segment to do. The fans here want to see this segment. You know, it's got to happen. Get me out of the ring. So they kind of carried me a little bit out of the ring, went through the curtain, and I collapsed, called an ambulance. I spent the night in the hospital, which was really weird because I've never been in an ambulance before. I've never had an IV before. Never had pain medicine before. Ever. It was just a really weird night, and I don't know. I believe kind of everything happens for a reason, and right now I'm more motivated than ever to come back and to be better than ever. So maybe this is what I needed. Maybe this is what needed to happen. I believe everything happens for some strange reason. Life has a funny way of working itself out, but I'm excited to come back.
So when you discovered this injury, was this in like 2008? Is that the first time you realized that you had the hairline fracture in your back?
Yes, that was... I think you're reading my Wikipedia now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I think that was 2008. I'm really bad with dates and times and all that type of stuff, but yeah, I think it's 2008. And life had a funny way of working itself out back then, too, when you really think about it, because I got hurt a day after I had a Ring of Honor tryout match, which was me versus Sammy Callahan, actually, in Cleveland, Ohio, in a Ring of Honor tryout match, and that was the same time that Gabe Sapolsky was still booking Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
We had that tryout match. Maybe the next day I woke up and I was in an incredible amount of pain. Ended up taking like 6 months off, and in that six-month period, Gabe Sapolsky left Ring of Honor. And around the time I came back, he was looking for young guys to start Dragon Gate USA up with. And
right.
I was in Chicago at a show, and Cole Cabana came up to me and said, have you talked to Gabe yet? Have you emailed him? And I was like, Gabe, no. Because I hadn't really discussed or talked to Gabe at all, ever. So I was very shocked when he came up to me and asked that. And he said, here's his email. Tell him Colt sent you. So I emailed Gabe, sent him my stuff. He said he wanted to book me on the first few Dragon Gate USA shows. I was in the first fray. Gabe liked it. He liked my stuff immediately. Then I wrestled more for Dragon Gate USA, ended up signing a contract, and then 2.5 years later, I become the first American to win the Open the Freedom Gate title. So, just like I said, everything happens for a reason. Life has a funny way of working itself out. So we'll see what happens this time.
You mentioned Sammy Callahan.
Speaking of the championship, could you talk about just the experience of winning that title and that match and everything that was involved in that show? Because it probably had to be your biggest match up to you at this point in your career.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a moment that I'll always remember. It was a night I'll always remember. I always had a goal of being a world champion on the indies. I wanted to be the guy. I wanted to be the guy that they trust with the promotion. They say, okay, you're the guy. Here's the ball. Go run with it. You're the champion. It's all on you. I always wanted that because I've always wanted to follow in the footsteps of, say, a CM Punk or a Bryan Danielson. Guys like that were always huge inspirations for me. I always loved the way their career went. They did everything they possibly could on the indies. So when they went on the WWE, they were ready to be stars. They were ready to do their thing, and they are right now, of course. So I wanted to be a World Heavyweight Champion. It meant a lot to me. It meant even more to me because I was on the first Ranga USA show ever. The first show, the first match ever, and it meant a lot to me because I've been with the promotion since the start. I have watched the company grow. I've watched it evolve. I've watched it change, and it's a big part of me. So the title means a ton to me. And that night in New York City, I love New York City. I love B.B. King. It's my favorite place to wrestle outside of my hometown because just the atmosphere and electricity in Times Square is so amazing. I always make sure to at least walk around a couple times before the shows. And that whole night was something special because it was like all my hard work that I've done putting in Dragon USA, because every single Dragon USA weekend, I bring 110%. If you watch any of my matches in Dragon USA, any of my matches anywhere really, but Dragon USA, I am able to be me. I'm really comfortable. I'm very confident there. And I'm able to be myself, and I bring my A++ game every single time I'm there, and it'll be no different next weekend in Miami.
Now, speaking of Miami, who are you wrestling in? What do you got planned for Miami?
Well, next Thursday night in Hollywood, Florida, there's actually going to be a big 9-man elimination tag match. It's me, Rich Swann, and Chuck Taylor against UHA Nation, Akira Tozawa, and B.B. Kalk against Sami Callihan, Eric Cannon, and Pinky Sanchez in the main event of that. And it's going to be absolutely crazy. Then the second night, Friday, in Miami, Florida, it will be me and Chuck Taylor going against Shima and Ricochet for the Open United Gate Tag titles. I have a chance to be a double champion. And that iPay-per-view on WWNLive.com is actually only $1.99, which is crazy. You can get that iPay-per-view, watch it live for $1.99. Also on the show is Pac versus Low-Ki, which is amazing. I mean, you're going to see some of the best professional wrestling you've ever seen before in your life. I can guarantee you that. $1.99, you have no reason not to buy that iPay-per-view. And Saturday night, I make my second defense of the Open the Freedom Gate Championship against Masato Yoshino. Masato Yoshino is one of the best athletes in the world today, one of the best technical wrestlers in the world today. And you can also buy that on iPay-per-view on WWNLive.com. If you want to come, if you're in Miami for WrestleMania, you can come to the shows, DGUSA.TV. Come check it out. It's going to be a heck of a show. Dragon USA always blows people's minds, and it's going to blow yours if you give it a shot.
Also on that night, speaking of Saturday, we have Sami Callihan versus Sabu in a street fight. And if you haven't gone to YouTube and checked out Sami Callihan's promos that he's cut on Sabu in the last month or so, go check those out because they're tremendous. And Sami Callihan has so stepped it up in the last year. And he's awesome. But that's another story for another time.
I agree, though. I firmly agree. I got to wrestle Sami. Me and him kind of came up in the same circles back when we were first starting, and we wrestled a lot when we first started. And it's really amazing to us. We talk about it all the time, how we both grown, and we've all both, like, changed in the type of people we are today. And it's really cool that the thing about Dragon USA and Evolve that I love is they really give young guys opportunities to shine. They give young guys chances. They give young guys places to wrestle, and they give young guys opportunities, and they're not afraid to. They're not afraid to say, here you go. You're a relatively unknown guy, but we're going to give you a shot. And they really reap the benefits there, because I think Dragon USA and Evolve have the best young talent, best young roster you're ever going to find in the world today. I mean, you got myself, which is I'm fairly okay sometimes, Chuck Taylor, Rich Swann, Ricochet, Sami Callihan, UHA Nation, AR Fox, Eric Cannon, guys like that, mixed with some of the best wrestlers from Japan, from Japan, and they're not only the best wrestlers from Japan, they're the best wrestlers in the world. And you put that all under one roof, you get an amazing roster, an amazing show. And again, you can buy for $1.99 next week. Oh my God, WWNLive.com, check it out. It's going to be amazing.
Can you talk a little bit about Chikara? Especially the 2011 King of the Trios tournament you were in with Fist?
Of course. Chikara is another one of my favorite places to wrestle. Everyone who knows about Chikara knows it's something completely different than anything else in professional wrestling right now. I say this in almost every single interview I do where I'm asked about Chikara, But it's a comic book come to life. You get amazing over-the-top characters. You get great professional wrestling. You get just tons of different things you don't see anywhere else. And it's just such a different product, and it's a product I firmly believed in. I wanted to be a member of the Chicago roster because I firmly believed in the product. I wanted to partake in it, and I wanted to help. So I'm able to do that, luckily. It's a great, great place to wrestle. And King of Trios is always an amazing show. It always gets enormous crowds, and it's always very well bought and very well received by the wrestling audience, wrestling fans all around the world. We were in the finals this past year against the Colony. We got to wrestle as well against Hakushi and Great Sasuke and Dick Tobo, which is an amazing honor. I can't even mention how big of an honor that was to be in the ring with those guys. It was surreal, really, when you think about it. We were all little schoolgirls being able to be in the ring with those guys. But I think, you know, Chikara is something really different. If you haven't given it a shot, please do give it a shot. You can go to chikarapro.com, check it out. The website's really different as well. You can tell it's not your normal professional wrestling company. It's just something fun.
Now, when you found out, what was actually more of a shock? Finding out that you were going to get to wrestle Dick Togo, Sasuke, and Jensen, or finding out that you were going to go over them in the match?
I think just being in the ring with them was something just amazing. I mean, it was just something you never expect in your wildest dreams. And I think that's the beauty of King of Trios, too, is they are able to create moments like that. And moments that you'll never expect, and dream matches you'll never expect, and they're able to do it. Like, look at 1-2-3 Kid versus El Generico from this past year's King of Trios, which was amazing. Who would have thought you'd see El Generico versus the 1-2-3 Kid? No one, but only in Chikara King of Trios, and Chikara in general, will that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you also got to tour Japan last year. What is it like? I've always wondered, you know, when you're working a Japanese guy, obviously there's a language barrier, but you basically just have to fight for whatever offense they give you, basically. I mean,
Wrestling's kind of a universal language, really, when you think about it. For us, it just comes naturally. I anymore actually prefer wrestling a Japanese guy. I feel like Japanese wrestlers, really, their training and the way they're so dedicated, they're some of the best wrestlers in the world. And a lot of my best matches have come against guys from Dragon Gate, guys like Shima, guys like Akira Tozawa, guys like Naruki Doi, Yamato. Those guys are amazing. Being in the ring with those guys, it ups your game every single time. And I can fully say that my development would not be as successful as it was if I wasn't in Dragon Gate USA, because I get to be in the ring with those guys. And every single time you're in the ring with a guy like Shima, you bring your A game, and he makes you bring your A game. Because if you don't bring your A game, people are going to tell. I always wanted to be on the same level as those guys. You know, you have to get really, really good. Really, really, really good to be on the level of those guys. And to be seen on the level of those guys anymore is something surreal to me and something phenomenal that just shows that if you want something bad enough, hard work and everything else, dedication, it pays off eventually.
Now, going back to Chikara used to have a big presence on a lot of the Dragon's Gate USA shows, and I know that they've actually done some work with Ring of Honor recently. Is there still a working relationship with Chikara and Dragon's Gate USA?
I believe so. I believe so. Last time I checked, Jigsaw even worked the last Evolve show. So I think there's still very much so is a working relationship. I think everything's fine there. I mean, everyone's kind of helping itself out, and Chikara is a great promotion, and Dragon USA and Evolve are both great promotions, so I see nothing but the fans benefiting from them working together. So I'm looking forward to them working together again in the future.
Now, let me ask you, because a lot of wrestling fans always want to kind of maybe start wars between companies. You know, they want to back their company over another company, and, you know, there's always been the Monday Night Wars in the past. What exactly is the feeling? Because I'm sure you work most of the territory of the groups. It's like, I know there's competition, but what is there like bad feelings between, like, say, Dragon Gate USA, ROH, Chikara, the one group in California? I mean,
I don't think so. I don't think there's any really bad feelings between anyone, really. Everyone's just trying to put out their best product for their fans and do what they think is best. I think every promotion is really different. I think Dragon Gate USA and Evolve offer something different. I think Chikara offers something different. I think Ring of Honor offers something different. I think PWG offers something different. And I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan because so there's so much choices. There's so many options. And it's different because when you look at WWE, that's the only choice right now. There's no WWE, there's no ECW. But on the indies, you get a choice between Grand Gate USA and Evolve or Chikara or Ring of Honor or PWG. Whatever tickles your fancy, whatever kind of wrestling you like, You can pick two, you can pick three, you can pick four, you can watch them all. You can just stick to one. I don't think there's any bad blood, but I think each promotion offers something different, and depends on what you're a fan of.
Mm. Go ahead, Craig.
Very cool. are we wrapping it up here, Ed? I was going to plug Johnny's events.
We can go a little longer if you don't mind, Johnny.
No, I'm here all night. I can do whatever you want.
Okay, cool.
Well, speaking of, you know, we talked about the shows coming up for WrestleMania, but are you actually excited for WrestleMania itself? And have you been following the product lately?
Yes, very much so. I'm very excited for WrestleMania. My flight home from Miami will actually get me home in time where I can watch WrestleMania with my friends and enjoy it like I wanted to. I'm very excited for Rock versus Cena. Very, very excited for Rock versus Cena. I think I have so much respect for John Cena as a guy who works incredibly, incredibly hard. And he's just so good at what he does, I feel, too. I think he's very underrated. And I know people get upset because he's shoved down people's throats and maybe he's not the best worker and he's not the best technical wrestler. But John Cena, I think, is phenomenal because he's brought it. He has brought it like no one else has brought it these past few weeks on Raw with his promos against The Rock. I think his promos have been phenomenal. I think The Rock is The Rock, and I think the crowd is going to be absolutely electric in Miami. I can't wait to see the crowd atmosphere alone. I think that's a wrestler's dream, to be in front of a crowd like that. And with just as much hype as the match is going to get, I think it's going to be phenomenal. And, of course, as a wrestling fan, I'm looking forward to CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is always one of my favorites, and CM Punk is one of the best wrestlers in the world. So they're both going to bring something crazy. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, being in the ring with Bryan Danielson numerous times, he is the best wrestler in the world, no doubt in my mind. You don't realize how good that guy is until you're in the ring with him. Him and Sheamus, Bryan's going to bring it like crazy, and Sheamus is going to bring it, so it's going to be awesome. I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be something really cool. Headlined by Rock and Cena, I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually arriving in Fort Lauderdale on Friday, so I can't wait for the weekend. It should be great. Now going back to, I saw that you worked some TNA. How was that experience like?
It was really cool because the TNA thing actually happened. I got contacted to get a tryout done with TNA. They contacted me and they were interested in me while I was hurt. With my first initial back injury. I had to tell them that, oh, I'm hurt. And they said, take your time. Whenever you're ready, we'll bring you down. You can have a tryout. So that really motivated me to get into the best possible shape to come out and maybe get a sign with TNA. I wrestled Jay Lethal on one of the shows, and I wrestled Eric Young on a second one. And I got nothing but positive reviews. Vince Russo loved me. Everyone in the locker room loved me, everyone there. I have a lot of friends at TNA. Everyone was really cool. Nothing came of it, but really, I always think this not getting signed is really a blessing in disguise because I was able to hook up with Gabe Sapolsky and Dragon Gate USA, and I'm able to be the wrestler I am today. I think maybe I would have – my growth as a wrestler, I think maybe would have been stifled a bit if I would have maybe ended up getting signed. I think now that I'm able to grow on the indies and do what I love to do and travel around and do everything possible, I think I have a pretty good mindset on what I want to be now.
And since, you know, maybe a lot of fans might not be familiar with Dragon Gate USA or your stuff, what could you tell the fans, you know, if they come to see Johnny Gargano this coming week, what can they expect? I mean, what are you gonna show everybody this weekend?
What am I going to show everybody? You're going to see a kid who loves professional wrestling from me. But, I mean, from everyone else on the Dragon Gate USA roster Evolve, you come to the show, you're going to see some of the most exciting, athletic, crazy professional wrestling you've ever seen before in your life. If you've only seen WWE, imagine Evan Bourne times 5 billion. It's crazy what I can attest that to. I have been on every Dragon Gate USA show since the beginning, since I previously mentioned that earlier. And I still, my mind is still blown by how talented some of the guys are and what they do. My mind still gets blown every single show. So if my mind gets blown, I've seen every single show, what that say for a new fan or someone who's never seen the product before? Your mind is going to be blown. It's some of the most innovative athletic professional wrestling I've ever seen, and I'm a wrestler. So come check it out, give it a shot, and trust me, it's just, it's like an action movie with all of the action in the world packed into 2.5 hours. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, if you've never seen a Dragon Gate USA six-man tag, it's ridiculous. It's nonstop, constant movement. It's phenomenal. So I was going to ask you, you got a couple of friends down in developmental in FCW. Hopefully they can hang on. you've got Tyler Black down there. You've worked him. Also John Moxley. Out of those guys, who do you see WWE calling up?
Man, that's really hard. I was just, like, looking at FCW right now. It's, like, the best place ever. Like, there's so much talent in FCW right now. You look at Tyler Black, Seth Rollins. You look at John Moxley, Dean Ambrose. You got Claudio, Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
You got Hiro, Cassius Ohno. I mean, there's so much good talent down there right now. I can't even imagine. I think everyone offers something different, which, I keep praising that, but I think everyone offers something different. I think Tyler Black, I was actually at the Raw in Cleveland, and I saw his dark match he had, and it was awesome. And he is something completely different than on TV right now. And as soon as they bring him up, he's going to open up a lot of eyes to him. And I he should, because he's incredibly athletic for his size, and he's awesome. So Seth Rollins is really good, and Dean Ambrose is just such a crazy character, such a great character. I watched a lot of John Moxley's promos way back in the day before he was in Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, and he was amazing back then, and he's even more amazing now. Just so good. So good at what he does, and I'm such a fan of his work, too. And I think they both offer something different on different aspects. Seth Rollins with the athleticism and the wrestling, and Dean Ambrose with the character and the promos and stuff like that. I think they're both going to bring something completely different to Raw or SmackDown when they're brought up.
Fair enough.
You mentioned that, you know, every wrestler's dream is to wrestle for the WWE. Now, given that chance, would you like jump on the opportunity they offered you like tomorrow, or do you think you prefer to work a few more years to get some more experience before you actually would make it to that big of a stage?
It's hard to say right now because I feel, in some ways, I've done pretty much everything I possibly could do on the indies. In some ways, being the Open the Freedom Gate champion was always my ultimate goal. To be the world champion was my ultimate goal, and I've accomplished that. But I still want to have a great reign with that title, and I still want to carry that title and have phenomenal matches and do that title justice and bring it up another level than it was already with guys like B.B. Hulk and Yamato, who had amazing reigns, and I just want to top that any way I possibly can. We'll have to see. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I've always loved the role, the way that Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and CM Punk was able to do everything possibly they possibly could on the indies. And when I initially signed my Dragon Gate USA contract, I had this conversation with Gabe Sapolsky. If you're a doctor, you got to go to school before you start operating on people. Wrestling on the indies is kind of like going to school. You can't just go and start operating on people and know what you're doing. You can't just go to WWE and be expected to be successful. They try to, but, I mean, sometimes it's just not like that. But you look at guys like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, who did their time on the indies, learned everything they possibly could. So when they went to WWE, they knew how to carry themselves as stars because they already had that confidence. They already had that that persona and way to carry themselves and way to do things so that when they went to WWE, they were ultimately ready. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I think I'm far from a finished product, but being 24 years old, we'll have to see.
Cool. Can you go ahead and wrap up now, Chris?
Okay. So go ahead and check out the events this next weekend in Hollywood, Florida, and also 2 dates in Miami. Johnny Lowe's going to be working in Toronto for Evolve on April 13th. So check those shows out. Johnny, do you have a Facebook, Twitter, anything else to throw out?
I do. I have Facebook.com/TheJohnnyGargano. The regular Johnny Gargano was taken, so I had to add V to it for some reason. So if normal Johnny Gargano is listening, let me have the normal one, man. Come on. and you can find me on Twitter, at Johnny Gargano. I'm fairly entertaining sometimes. And I always say this in every interview, but try. Please, if you've never seen any Dragon Gate USA shows, if you've never seen Evolve, if you've never seen Chikara, never seen any independent professional wrestling, if all you know is WWE, please go out and try. Just give independent wrestling a shot. I mean, trust me. It's where a lot of the guys that you watch on WWE right now got their start. And I'm sure if you go to an independent show right now, you may see the next Daniel Bryan. You may see the next CM Punk. So do all you can to support independent professional wrestling. Next weekend, Dragon Gate USA, Miami, I'm making my return. DGUSA.TV, WNLive.com. Always remember, $1.99 next week for a crazy show. Can't find it any better. Please go out, support indie wrestling, and do all that stuff.
Awesome. We'll see you next weekend, Johnny.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, man.
Dude, my computer, I don't know what is up with my internet, but I'm having all kinds of problems. I couldn't get my introduction out. I couldn't get the plugs out. I'm a mess here. I apologize for my failure this week.
That's just because you're very unprofessional, and you'll get the hang of this radio thing.
Maybe, Ed. Is Couture back there? Is he still hanging out, or?
No, I guess he dropped off the line. I wasn't even looking at the switchboard this whole time. I guess
Dragon Gate's not his thing anyway.
The what?
Dragon Gate's not really his thing anyway. He sticks to the old WCW. I don't even know if he watches. I don't think he watches anything else but WWE.
Pretty
anyway.
Much. But there's one question you forgot to ask from the board. I'm surprised you didn't ask.
I was afraid. I was afraid about that one, to be honest with you.
That was a good interview. I mean, he seems like a really, really cool guy.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. After hearing him on Brian's show, he seems like a good dude. So, so check out Johnny Gargano this weekend. I'm really, really want to see that Sabu and Sammy Callahan street fight. I think that's going to be awesome.
It could be all right.
It's going to be awesome.
Put them back online. So you're back?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well,
I was playing the new Angry Birds game.
It's out?
I didn't realize it was out.
Yeah, it came out yesterday. It's awesome.
Okay.
I gotta download it.
Wait.
You know they got a huge Angry Bird hanging from the Space Needle here in Seattle right now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I haven't actually seen it, but I've been alerted on the news that there is a Angry Bird hanging from the Space Needle because it's Angry Birds in space. So apparently the needle was involved.
They also had some updates for the original Angry Birds game in the Angry Birds Rio last week.
Mm.
So I want to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking Angry Birds on this wrestling show, kids.
Well, we're geeks. We're going to talk about this stuff.
That's very true. Very true. So Lance Storm ditched us, and really, who could blame him? He's big-timing us next week for the ROH shows.
Do y'all want to go ahead and do a preview for Mania?
Absolutely. Let me see if my slow computer can bring that up. Well, you guys can talk about some of it, I'm sure.
Well, here. Here, find that, and here, listen to this.
Cactus Jack doesn't have the best win-loss record in the NWA. You know why I think that is, Jim? He's just like a guy like Dr. Death. He needs guidance. He has all the skills and all the ability. Cactus Jack just needs somebody to tell him which direction to go in. Right now, Mascara's out on the floor, Hey, Cactus Jack could be setting him up for that big elbow. We've seen him do it before. The elbow right off the apron of the ring. He's setting him up for it, but Mascaras doesn't look stunned. Wait, Mascaras gets back in the ring. Cactus Jack doesn't know he's there. What in the world?
Oh, God, right on the concrete.
Oh, no.
Right on the back of his head on the concrete.
Cactus Jack is dead. He's done it this time. I've never seen anything like that.
His head just smacked that concrete. He was away from the mat. That's a concrete floor fan.
He went 10 feet out onto the concrete. No human being could get back up after that. But he's doing it.
There was no mat there. He fell right on the back of his head on the concrete.
And as I remember, he lost a tooth or something in that. He spit something out.
He lost the tooth in the Hell in a Cell, Craig.
He spit something out as he hit the floor on that. He lost his teeth before Hell in a Cell because remember when he was Dude Love and had his teeth in? That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's lost many teeth because he's crazy.
I'd be surprised if any of them are even real. It's like, you know, how many wrestlers do we not even know out there that actually have no teeth? You know what I mean?
Paul Mahoney?
I can pull them out, you know? I mean, I'm sure there's dozens of them that we have no clue.
Balls Mahoney? I saw him vomit the other day.
Yeah, I saw
Marty
that
Marty Jannetty. That was gross.
Yeah, New Jack had the best statement on that. He says, see, that's what happens when you do drugs before a match. And New Jack would know. Okay, so I got it here.
So are we ready? Are we ready to go? Did you get on the ball and call?
I got it. Okay, so next week, of course, is next weekend is WrestleMania weekend. We, of course, have Dragon Gate USA in town along with Ring of Honor. There is also a fan fest that goes with the Dragon Gate shows. And, of course, the big one, WrestleMania, April 1st in Miami. I'm not exactly sure what the main event is, so I don't know where to start because there's been...
Start the lower card matches.
Wait, what? You don't know what the main event is.
Okay, here's why I say that. Obviously, Cena and Rock are going to be the main event, but there's also a Hell in a Cell match.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's in a stadium. So I'm thinking in my head that they either have to suspend the cell from some kind of contraption or they have to put the cell up.
Like,
so I
Craig,
can see.
You've been to about, what, 5 WrestleManias in a row now?
Something like that, yeah.
Then don't all 5 of them have some kind of contraption around the ring where there'd be plenty of space and plenty of a thing to hang that sucker up on above or wouldn't even be in the way?
Right, but as we all know, because Jim Ross told us, it's 5 tons of steel. And I don't know if there's a contraption big enough to hold
that. I'm sure if those chains could hold it up for 2 hours, for 2.5 hours, they could probably hold it up for 2 hours. You know what I mean? So
yes,
I
but you're also talking. You're also talking. There's usually done in a closed dome stadium, so I could see them putting on Hell in the Cell last, just because you have to put up the cell.
Well, I mean, I don't think it'd be any problem for them to put it up, like, you know, when it's time for the match. They could go to, like, a feature or now the Hall of Famers or do some kind of skits for, like, 10, 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, you know they're going to play, like, some long – I mean, look at last year. I mean, look at the video package they played for Just the Miz before the match last year. So, you know, there's –
I'm sure they're probably practicing right now. I bet you they can get a good rhythm going. So, you know, to get down there and put that thing up if they need to.
Have you guys ever, like, gone live and just, like, watched the cameraman and the production people during the show?
Sure.
I can't say I paid attention to them.
I've done it a couple times, and all I can say is that every single one of these guys, they hate each other, every single one of them. They're always constantly screaming and yelling at each other.
Can't say that.
And I swear to God, one time there was almost a fist fight between two of them.
My favorite time I went, actually, it was a Raw, and we were actually employed by the WWE for the evening as seat fillers. And basically they ushered myself and Brian all around the building. Okay, sit here, and then, okay, there's people not here yet. You come over here and sit here. And we got ushered to, like, two or three different places. And it's pretty amazing how well of a well-oiled machine the WWE is when they're running live. And it's pretty amazing. That's all I can say.
I'll never forget when I had the sign police come down on me.
Yeah.
Guy walking over chairs with his finger pushing his earpiece in, just taking directions from somebody who just comes straight at me like a mother and taking my sincere and poster sign away.
Why don't people just take blank poster boards and a marker and then do it while they're there?
Yeah, a whiteboard or something.
Because people are stupid. I don't know.
All right, anyway, I've got the lineup for WrestleMania here. I will start from the bottom and work my way up. How about this?
Okay.
First one, Kelly and Maria Menounos.
Why is that going to be the first one?
Because it's the lowest thing on the totem pole, that's why.
No, it's not. It's got Maria, it's got E, it's got the Hollywood tie-in to give them some airplay. It's going to be like four from the top.
Yes, because The Rock didn't do anything for the mainstream this year.
Right. Actually, Maria was on the Adam Carolla show last week, and she's a very attractive young lady and well-spoken and on Dancing with the Stars, and she said nothing about being at WrestleMania this year. I had to laugh. Anyway,
she's done decent in her appearances. She's wrestled a couple of matches, done pretty decent.
Yeah, I think she did one match and then, like, an angle, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just got a Facebook message from David Lagana. He wants to know if we're going to miss him at WrestleMania this year.
Of course we are. Tell him I'll
ask him why nobody came out to help Dixie.
Good shit, okay. I was going to ask him. You all talk about yourselves.
Ask him that.
He's not allowed to be on this show, guys. Quit talking about it.
He's not on the show. He just answered a Facebook message.
Yes, this is all hearsay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Anyway, Kelly and Maria Menounos versus Beth Phoenix and Eve, who are somehow friends. I must have turned off. Well, I guess.
Well, they bumped into each other in the hallway, though, I don't know, Raw or something, and so they...
Right. Yeah, how could I forget such a huge face turn or heel turn?
It sucks because I was actually hoping we'd see Karma against Beth Phoenix this year. That sounds like a good mania.
How do you spell Dixie?
Are you serious?
Yeah, how do you spell
Dixie? D-I-X-I-E.
What?
D-I-X-I-E.
Okay, I got it right.
I can't believe you.
I had a hard time making sure.
Yeah, we know. Anyway, those two, or those four girls are going to be wrestling, and I don't have a lot to say about it.
I predict that'll be before the main event.
Perhaps they could do it while they're still tearing down the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is going to be a 5-star match, and it's going to steal the show, and it'll be over big time.
Speaking of 5-star matches, Randy Orton versus Kane.
Yeah.
And we just got
a fast Randy Orton this year. He deserved better.
Absolutely.
I'd much rather see him again. No, nothing is Sheamus. I'd much rather see him again, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was, they were in Seattle here 3 weeks ago, and I was really hoping for more of a match between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, but, yeah, what are you going to do? Anyway,
that
match will
be... I got
Pound Side, and then it says, Pound Sign, I want Scoops.
Hashtag.
Hashtag, I want Scoops.
Pound Sign, that's the 90s.
Well, that's what it is. It's a pound sign. That's what it says on Block Talk Radio. Push the pound sign after you put in the code. Okay, hashtag, I want Scoops.
Yeah, he's been doing that lately. I don't know what that is, because I'm not on Twitter, so.
Yeah, I mean,
tell Gana to come to Miami and I'll buy him lunch like I did last year.
Okay.
Also, for the Intercontinental Championship, Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show.
I'm going to go with Dane just seems like he's been setting up Big Show to win because he's been being embarrassed like every week with those videos and stuff like that.
If you trust WWE booking, they usually, you know, the guy that looks the strongest going into the match, usually the other guy will get his heat back by actually winning a match. So hopefully Show will be our new Intercontinental Champion. Or not.
I think it says something good about Cody. He had his own match at Mania. You know,
he had his own match at Mania last year.
That's true.
What match was
that?
And he actually won, which was actually a surprise.
Yeah, the best thing I ever saw.
For the last year or so.
What I really want to know is, what the hell happened with Shaq? Because okay,
hard to say.
Shaq goes on all these shows saying he's going to be at WrestleMania, he's going to wrestle the Big Show. Now, they started this program with Cody, and Cody's showing all this footage of fucking Akebono and Mayweather, and of course you had Daniel Bryan not even having the clue and realizing that, you know, it could be leading into Shaquille O'Neal being the celebrity, like, you know, that's what I thought they were going, but then all of a sudden it's just, Shaq's just out of the picture, and I haven't heard him say anything lately, and WWE says that it's a dead point, so... What the hell happened to Shaq?
They didn't need him with Ruck on top.
Maybe he'll do a slow walk-in or run-in, I mean. I don't know.
Do you think he'll still show up and that they're just keeping it quiet and he'll still make an appearance, or you think he's...
No. They would be fools not to advertise him. That would be so dumb. But I don't know. Maybe
I was wondering how they
come together
on Monday. Jack's like a natural baby face, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's a fucking douchebag.
Whatever. How could you not love that guy with the Superman tattoo?
Shit, I don't like him.
No, whatever. World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. I expect this to do very well on this show. I think these guys are both going to bring it like our guest Johnny Gargano talked about.
I'd keep it on Bryan.
Absolutely. There's no reason to take it off of him right now, which means they'll probably do that.
I didn't know he was seeing Brie Bella until today.
I'm sorry?
I didn't know he was dating Brie Bella in real life.
I got some hints about that, like, in May.
Well, like, I remember what happened back in May. It's freaking March.
You talking about Sheamus?
No, I'm talking about Daniel Bryan.
No, Daniel Bryan's... screwing Brie, and I don't know if he still is, but at the time, Ziggler was screwing the other one.
Well, I had no idea, so that comes as news to me. So thank you. You guys are...
That's because you don't get the gossip from WWE superstars and limos in Las Vegas.
WWE Champion CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. I am excited for this. I think this is going to be an awesome match.
Yeah, they turned it up the last couple of weeks with the whole... alcoholic father and stuff like that. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's a crack whore or something.
Wow. Well, I don't think they use those terms, but yeah.
Well, that's what they meant.
I know.
That's what you call them.
not what I call them. Fine.
I think Jericho will probably win this, and Punk get the title back next month in Chicago.
Yeah, that would make the most sense, but... stranger things have happened. We have Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. It would make much more sense if all of Team Teddy consisted of SmackDown guys and all of Team Johnny consisted of Raw guys.
Well,
but that's not what
we got here. Well, no, because the winner gets to be the GM of both brands, so you know you don't have like a brand loyalty if you win.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right there, because otherwise, if that would happen, we would have another bragging rights pay-per-view, and we all know how that went.
There's like no guessing. That's just how it is.
It was like when Bryan was complaining, you know, when they had the Daniel Bryan and CM Punk match, and Teddy was for CM Punk and John Laurinaitis was for Bryan, because they're both on the same spot to be the head guy on both shows. It's like the brand stuff kind of goes out the window when you want to be head of both shows.
I'll give you that, but they haven't pushed that real hard on the TV as of late.
Well, because it should be common knowledge. I mean, obviously you have the heels siding with Johnny and the faces siding with Teddy, so it'd be obvious.
Okay, I can't even remember who's in this match. Who's in the match?
They haven't even announced everyone because I think there's still like one spot open, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it might be going to Rey Mysterio. That's what I've heard.
I know
that's what Dr. Lucha was saying.
Yeah, because they can hide him in that match, and he didn't have to do much if he's still
Here's what they've got. On Team Johnny, they got Jack Swagger, Christian, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, and Captain David Otunga.
I think they're adding Alberto Del Rio to that match, too.
There is a shadow. There is a shadow where a man will appear here in the next few weeks. On Team Teddy, there's also a shadow, and the shadow is shorter. So, therefore, it's got to be Rey Mysterio. Anyway, Zack Ryder, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, the immobile Great Khali, and Team Captain Santino Morel.
Well, Santino is the most over guy in the match, so might as well put him up.
I can't argue with that.
I don't understand the fascination with Great Khali in these main events. I just don't get it.
He's not going to do much.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
he can't do much.
He's the only guy, like, Rey Mysterio selling for him looks absurd because he's just so bad.
Yeah.
And I hope Team Orton Knight wins. I like Johnny better.
Yeah, he is pretty awesome.
He's just entertaining. Maybe Albert will make his debut in this match or something, help him win.
Ooh.
Or Tensai or something. A-Train, Albert.
I'm not sure it'll come down to a Skeena or Skana, whatever her name is, screwing over Teddy.
Oh, yeah, Oksana and the Hornswoggle's a mascot. There's going to be a cast of goobers out there.
Yeah.
Jesus. But I'm sure it'll be an awesome match.
It's an elimination match, right?
I don't even know if it's an elimination match.
I think it is.
It doesn't say, and I'm actually on WWE.com. I don't have time to read the full article, so I won't. But if you want more information,
it'd be better if it was, so you get rid of Khali pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep putting that guy out there. He's going to get more hurt. I mean, his knees are. Watching that guy walk puts me in pain.
I blame this on Ring Ka King. See, they saw this Indian promotion, so they got to put the Indian back on TV.
Next match, Undertaker versus Triple H, Hell in a Cell with special guest referee Shawn Michaels.
I think Undertaker's going to win, but I'm intrigued at how it happens because I'm expecting a great match. So
now, in my little mind, as a guest booker, I would love to see Undertaker beat Triple H, but somehow Shawn Michaels inadvertently screw Triple H. So next year, they have to do Undertaker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels in a triple threat match.
That'd be awesome.
That's just my wrestling wet dream, but that would be fun.
If we can hear that, thank you.
Yeah, Ed.
What?
It's rude.
A little professionalism, please.
What are you all talking about?
You're sucking on your bong right in your microphone.
I'm not hitting my bong right now. I'm laying back in my chair watching the Spurs game. I haven't touched my bong in a while.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I'll hit it right
and
now so you can hear it.
I just heard it.
Let me load this puppy up. All right, let's go. Here we go.
And in the main event, we got women and children listening to this show, for God's sake, Ted.
That's my
in the main
ball,
event,
right?
John Cena versus The Rock. Everybody expects expects John Cena to go over. I don't know how you don't put Rock over in his hometown and bring this back next year, but
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, we keep hearing about how Dave and Brian keep talking about how, okay, the WWE doing everything they can because they want it 50-50. And everyone thinks that there's no way in hell that's going to happen. That at best it'd be maybe 95%. Here's where everybody is wrong. Okay? And I'm not saying it's going to be 50-50. I'm not even going to say it'll be 40-60. But here's the thing. There's going to be a shitload of little kids and women in that stadium. And the little kids, they don't give a rat's ass who The Rock is because they didn't grow up on The Rock. I have two friends that are kind of casual wrestling fans who have kids that are into wrestling. The kids are so freaking John Cena fans, just like every other little kid out there. They don't care that it's The Rock. They're going to cheer a Cena. It's going to be a good, it's not going to sound as bad as everyone thinks it's going to be. It's going to be a pretty big shock to a lot of people in my when it comes down to it.
I don't know. I actually think the match is going to be pretty good. I think the heat's going to be off the charts. So, you know, when you have heat like that, it's kind of hard for a match.
It can make it great.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like Rock and Hogan a few years ago.
Exactly. I don't think the heat will be quite that good, but
I don't know what's going to happen, but, I mean, you know, this is one that I'm glad I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what. You know, not supposed to know.
Right.
That's like everybody's asking, you know, are they shooting on each other out there? I said, well, who cares if you.
Exactly.
If you question it, then what they're doing is working. So.
I think the biggest shock this year, like right on the front page of the WWE WrestleMania site, there's pictures that scroll past, and it talks about the celebrity list. And this year, the celebrities are Maria Menounos, and that's it.
No, they just announced some rapper on the show just the other day.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know who it is, but
Machine Gun Kelly is going to be there. And I also heard that Flo Rida is going to be there.
Yeah, he's doing the Rock song, and the other dude's doing Cena's thing.
I see.
Bring him to the ring, which I don't know how good that'd be.
I'm sure it's going to be horrible. Although, you know, the 1 year Kid Rock performed, it was really awesome. I wouldn't admit to that, but that was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll just never forget his little sad face. Him and Eminem sitting next to each other, game 7 of the NBA Finals, Detroit Spurs, and they were just in tears because their team got their ass kicked in the fourth quarter and did not win the NBA title that year.
You're such a homer. Anyway, so that's WrestleMania, and of course our topic for tonight is going to happen the night before the Hall of Fame, and I guess we're going to use the rest of this time to talk about Edge.
Actually, we're just going to maybe do another show during the week before the trip or something.
Let's run down the Hall of Fame, guys. You got that list?
give me a second.
You just had five. What's going on?
My computer is slow tonight because there's something wrong with my internet connection. Just chill out.
It's your iPod. Because you need a droid instead of that crappy iPod.
Yes, the iPad is just a horrible thing.
It is.
I'm actually on my computer, so you can suck it. You guys start talking about Yokozuna. How about that?
He was fat.
I got the list in front of me.
Oh, there you go. Do it,
He's had it this whole time. He's just waiting on you to make you look like a fool. But Yokozuna was, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a churk. A churk liked him a lot more than I did. He's just
a real big man.
Yeah, just a little too fat and slow for me. You know, I mean, it's cool that they're putting them in. I'm not going to bitch about it. I mean, it's actually pretty cool they're putting them in there, but I was never actually the biggest fan of Yokozuna.
He'll be inducted by the Rikishi and the Usos.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. I didn't know Rikishi was going to be there this year.
Yep.
You know what? Yokozuna was a fine champion. had a good match. Actually, you know what? He had a lot of good matches with a lot of really good wrestlers. I know that's surprising that to say that a big man was carried to a great match, but you know, I'll never forget the his match with Shawn Michaels on Raw, which was phenomenal.
He and Owen Hart made a great team, I thought.
Oh yeah,
big man, little man team,
and just a huge, huge man. Good Lord, I mean, by the end there. You know,
I mean, he got so fat that he wasn't legally allowed to wrestle anymore.
They send him like to one of those some kind of diet program where they, you know, it's kind of like rehab, but it's like for fat people.
Fat farm.
Yeah, and I think
he went and they made it. He went to the fat farm and they made it a ranch.
You have to eat a lot of food to get that big.
Oh yeah, six bills. It's crazy.
I remember when Vader broke his leg and they had to put him on the crane to stretch him out.
That's right. Yeah, he was a big man.
Ron Simmons, and he's going to be inducted by JBL.
That would be pretty awesome, actually.
Ron Simmons definitely deserving, I think.
Yeah. JBL is going to be awesome. JBL is probably still the show.
Probably will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And first
you remember
black,
that match? You remember that real shitty match? I think Ron Simmons was the champion at the time, but the real shitty match he had with Tony Helm, who would later become Ludwig Borgwig.
Ludwig Borga?
Ludwig Borga, I'm sorry.
Yeah, in Japan?
Yeah, on the Super Show. That was horrible.
I still, one of my favorite moments of all time was when he beat Vader for the title. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. That was an awesome. That was like, he won with the power stand, didn't he? I mean, he had that awesome power stand, yeah.
And he had people crying in the audience.
And supposedly the first black world champion.
You think Dave's not here. You get Dave. He'd tell you.
Yeah, I know. He'd get all riled up. But, yeah.
Mil Mascara. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, being inducted in his basically his hometown where he played ball when he was a kid, when he was in college and stuff. So
right.
He'll be over.
Yeah, he'll definitely be over.
Yeah.
Next is Mil Mascara will be inducted by Alberto Del Rio. Is that his nephew?
Yeah, it's his nephew. And you're talking about probably the second most famous luchador in the history of the world. And that by
who's
far.
Who's the other one be? Santo?
Santo.
Yeah, it was by Santo. And I remember you talking about a guy who just looked like a superstar. Back in the day, I mean, he had his physique going when in the 70s when most of the guys looked like Hardy Reese, you know. I mean, he was always impressive, and he always looked like fantastic. And you know, by today's standards, he was not much of a high flyer, but by those standards, he was, you know. And he's pretty good. He's just a guy who gets maligned because, you know, he wrestled too long. Has an ego, but it's probably well deserved because of these drawing money everywhere. You know what I mean? And very protective of his mask. That's for sure. Because apparently he showers with it and everything. So the show at the Royal Rumble here in San Antonio.
Yeah, didn't know the rules, so he did a body press to the outside of the top rope. This guy has been wrestling for 30 years, didn't know those rules.
Why wouldn't he?
Next is Mike Tyson. He's going to be inducted by Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, that should be cool.
Yeah. Do you remember when when he came back, when DX reformed here, probably was about 5 years ago? They just had the I just watched the new and improved DX on Netflix, and Tyson came back for that one Monday Night Raw.
When he was teaming with Jericho?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just remember him using, you know, doing the crotch chop, and it was like a kid that had rediscovered an old toy he used to play with, you know? It's like, oh, this is really awesome. I'm going to keep doing this over and over and over again. Anyway.
Well, if anybody deserves it, he does. I mean,
I really hope he comes out to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
I remember my first memory of Mike Tyson in pro wrestling was when he was supposed to referee Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. And he got beat by Buster Douglas like the week before in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that fight. It was awesome. It was like the first time he'd ever been knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, before we were getting, before I was getting like every WWE pay-per-view and every wrestling pay-per-view under the sun, you know, we would have work parties, you know, over, we would, you know, switch houses every month, but we would get the Tyson fights, and we watched, gosh, we watched at least 7-8 of them. You know, they were, just love watching that guy fight. He's phenomenal. It didn't matter if it was over in 2 minutes. It was just, you know, a reason to watch a fight, and, you know, just like UFC now, really.
Yeah. Next, we had the Four Horsemen who would be inducted by Dusty Rhodes.
And the big controversy is Ric Flair going to be on camera or not?
Well, they just throw TNA like $100,000 or something.
Okay, I got a question. Let me interrupt. Craig, how the hell did Brian not see Ric Flair last year?
I don't know.
And if you tell me you didn't see Ric Flair, there's something wrong with the two of you all.
Well, we were in the back in a suite, so we didn't have the best vantage point. So I didn't see him.
So y'all can see a blonde guy going crazy in the audience the whole show.
Yeah.
Sitting next to Stone Cold Steve Austin, of all people.
Did not see that, I'm sorry to say.
Wonder if Barry Windham was going to be there.
Oh, yeah. He was just, yeah, I don't know. I hope so.
It'd be cool if he is, hopefully.
And Tully Blanchard's father died yesterday.
Yeah,
that's right. Wow, that kind of sucks for him.
I wonder if he's going to be there.
I'm sure he will.
Mm. His dad died yesterday. That sucks.
I'm sure they'll get through all the funeral stuff, and then I'm sure he'll probably do it just to get his mind off of everything.
Yeah, maybe.
His dad was 83. It's not like he was, you know,
spring chicken.
Yeah.
Wasn't sudden.
And Dusty Rhodes would be good inducting them. I can't think anybody better.
Oh, yeah.
That should be entertaining.
Yeah.
So.
That'll be the second best promo of the evening.
Yeah. Then Edge will be inducted by Christian.
Yeah. That's, that wrestling really needs that guy.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see his last match last year at WrestleMania, but, you know, honestly, wrestling needs Edge again. He's so awesome in the ring and on the mic.
Wrestling needs Edge and wrestling needs Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely. One on each show.
I remember there was like the 1 year where like Edge just like carried the whole company.
Oh, yeah.
You know what got Edge over more than anything, I think, and it was probably by accident, was that whole Matt and Lita stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just, like, came off like a douchebag, and I think it made his heel character more more hateable.
Yeah, and, I mean, he was just awesome in this. Him and Lita were awesome together. They just had a really good look, and, you know, they were awesome. And then him and his videos with Vicky falling in love were pretty damn awesome, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That was good. That was some goofy stuff, though.
You know, in preparing for our show tonight, I actually did some research on YouTube, and I came across the live sex thing that they did on Raw. And as ridiculous as that was, it was wildly entertaining.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That might have been John Cena's, like, one of his biggest feuds was with Edge. You know, starting when he cashed in the Money in the Bank and then going through that summer. And, you know, they had, like, the TLC match. I think he was his best opponent.
And I also went back and watched him and Cactus Jack in the No Holds Barred match.
Yeah, that was
they got the Decadence
Edge DVD on Netflix too, I believe.
Matches.
Because I watched,
you know what?
A few weeks ago, I watched one and it had him against Owen Hart.
You guys got to promise not to make fun of me.
Okay.
So do it now. Ed, you too. I finally got around to watching the WCCW one on Netflix. That
Tragedy
was really
and
Triumph, awesome.
World Class, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
And, man, I had no idea because I lived in Seattle when all that was going on. It was good stuff.
Gary
Hart
was
awesome.
Was the saddest thing on there, I think.
Talking
about Gino Brandes.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. Well, no, that was the saddest part for me, and it gets me every time I see the damn thing, is when Jerry Lawler's talking about Kerry killing himself, and then they show Kerry talking about, I'd rather die than let the fans down, or something. And that kind of sucks. But yeah, that's my favorite DVD of all of them.
Yeah, Netflix is awesome. And it's $8 a month, so money well spent. They got tons of wrestling on there, so there's a plug for Netflix. I'm sure they need it.
Cool. I guess we can go ahead and wrap up the show already. Everyone check out. Well, everyone, if you're on my Facebook, go to my Facebook wall or timeline, whatever it is. Look for a post by Audrey Flynn and click on it, like it, leave a comment, and help our friends Audrey and Bluefish win a wedding. And so everyone do that. And,
you can have a wedding without having to win it, right?
What's that?
You can have a wedding without having to win one.
Yeah, I know, but
that's
the
true.
Chiefs, when they're trying to win one. So I do the same thing. I wouldn't want to. Weddings are fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, you have an open bar and you have friends like me come over.
I got on the board the other day and went to last week's thread and saw this GIF that Mark Wren had posted.
I'm going to have to ban Mark Wren from listening to the show after that.
Yeah. The funny thing was, I was checking it on my first, I was checking it on my iPhone with my little app here where I got the board, and it doesn't show the animated GIF. It just shows the person, like the back of the person with their mullet and then the Speedo. And I said, that's not really Ed, is it? From like back when he had his mullet, I could totally see it being him.
Yeah, it's I don't know how he found that, but it's pretty close. You got
to. I wouldn't know where to look for something like that, but
that's good.
Yeah. Fuck you, Martin.
I gotta say, last night's Grammy segment was like one of the best of all time. The restraining order story, the knock knock joke, the sanitation nation, or something like that.
What did you see? that was pretty awesome.
She was in rare form.
That just tickles me that somebody, after the person's dead, does the restraining order still apply? How do you get it lifted?
That is disgusting.
Their ghost is good. You can't go near their ghost or something. I don't know.
You're not allowed within 30 feet of the gravesite. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, everyone check out angrymark.com. You can always stream and download our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com.
Got a few shows to plug. This Sunday night on Pro Wrestling Flashback, me and Sinbad are going to be joined by Scotty Riggs of the American Male. So that should be a good time. Let me listen to that song again so I can download it for the theme music. So that should be fun. Then the night of WrestleMania, about an hour afterwards, me and Sinbad are going to be doing a post show. So
nice.
If you guys want to call in, just give us like your live thoughts and stuff like that. That would be cool.
Okay.
Then the weekend after that, we're doing a special show on women's wrestling with the one and only Jakey joining me and Sinbad.
There's a joke there somewhere, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Jakey's like the biggest women's wrestling fan in the world, so we're going to do a show on women's wrestling.
I beg to differ.
You don't have to beg.
Well, I differ.
Okay.
Jakey's a big Diva wrestling fan, but he does still think he's behind me, and of course he would definitely be behind Jim in Kentucky, Jim in Virginia.
Nah, I think
I don't rank these guys. I'm just saying.
I think Dave Brayback had you all beat.
Who?
Dave Prazak, you know, the guy that runs Shimmer.
Yeah. I guess it should be.
Also, obviously, next weekend we will be in Miami. If you're staying in the hotel with the rest of the Empire, why is it doing that?
Doing
you guys
what?
Do hear
what?
That, right? You guys don't hear that?
No.
Okay, never mind. It just must be my phone. Anyway, obviously, there's a meet and greet down at the Mexican restaurant there in the hotel. I look forward to meeting and re-meeting each and every one of you. We'll be all around Miami, Fort Lauderdale area all weekend. So, yeah, I'm stoked.
You new people, make sure you shake Ed's hand or he'll yell at you on the show.
That's true. And Ed, make sure you shake back. And
I don't work the room like Brian. You want to talk to me? Come up and talk to me. Don't expect me to.
And just so you know, I'm a hugger. So if you meet me and you need a hug, I'm down. So
it's gonna be the battle of the giants, Craig versus Oliver Kopp. I can't wait to see who's the biggest dude in the empire.
I'm down 14, but I don't know.
Oliver might have you beat, Craig. He might be the first time to be the biggest guy in the whole group.
Yeah, it's a burden I have to bear. What are you going to do?
And then throwing Vinny, Jesus Christ, there's going to be some monsters walking around Fort Lauderdale.
And you do know that it is the weekend of spring break, right?
Well, spring break was like last week over here.
No, spring break is this weekend. It starts right now and goes till next week here. So when we were booking flights, we had a little bit of trouble getting our airline that we have our airline miles with. So they were saying oh, it's spring break time, so everything's going to be expensive, and they were right.
Did you guys see Invasion on Raw the other night? "Quote unquote invasion."
I didn't even see it, dude. I didn't even snap to it. I guess I wasn't even paying attention when that was going on.
I saw a white shirt go flying up in the air, and then some dude took off his mask, and it was like Shane Douglas at age about 150 years. Looked like that was pathetic.
Hey, easy. We might have him on.
It's 2012.
Not only did I not see it, I didn't go out of my way to find it. That's you ever feel embarrassed for people because they don't have the scruples to be embarrassed by themselves? You know what I'm talking about, Ed.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, if he's doing a show
the other night, I don't know.
I'm sure it's making a little local news. I'm sure it's going to help his show a little bit.
You think so? I don't know.
It's a house show.
The old ECW guys are worse off, seems like, than the like the WWF guys. I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's pretty sad, let's be honest.
Well, they never made a whole lot of money. I mean, let's be honest.
They were looking for. No wonder they got paid. Didn't make a lot of money. They did. The checks just bounced.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm like, okay, in the show.
In the show.
All right. All right. Well, everybody, we'll probably be doing something before we leave. We'll figure that out, and we will talk to everybody then.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook 'em up.
Oh, hands on our heads,
a K-4. Terry Funk is crazy. Funk has gone crazy.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
It's time to take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.